welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio. We are passionate about radio, boys. Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin are the two partners in radio. I got ahead of myself there. That's why I'm so excited to do radio.
I was gonna say it's tough when you're just enthusiastic.
It really is, man. I'm like a dog on a chain here. You know, get me into the studio, dog on it.
If I was gonna come up with five adjectives for you, enthusiasm would be like two out of the five, I think.
Oh, absolutely, dude. It's all this business and like leadership book stuff I've been crushing lately. I've been crushing my days. I've been crushing a lot of books. Making moves, boys. But no moves this week, I dare say, have been bigger than our boy getting his new computer. Baby, tell us about your new laptop.
Yeah, I mean, we have so many topics on hand. I mean, what we need to do is start talking about my purchases.
Yes.
So, yeah. It's just a super exciting, new MacBook Air that is, dare say, identical to the last two I had, except this one is working.
Nice, so, babe. Yeah.
It also sounds better. I don't know why, but something about this new laptop just brings out the resonance in your voice more.
Yeah, because new always sounds better. New looks better. It sounds better. It feels better. New everything is always better.
See, that's now, funny baby, coming from a nostalgic guy.
Well, I know, but I mean, when it comes to like things like this, I'm kind of a new guy.
You don't go vintage on your laptops. Now, are you gonna photograph that bad boy? Is it gonna like appear next to a scone and a cup of coffee on a front porch? Has that happened yet?
I don't know. See, we talked about this. Because we talked about this last week. I'm not like the tech stuff doesn't fascinate me. I just want it to work. I don't really care. Yeah.
So, now I have a question vis-a-vis the new laptop. Are you like a stickers on the laptop guy?
Is that absolutely your deal? Not.
Absolutely. No. Okay. No.
I'm a stock guy. I like everything to be original condish.
Original stock condish. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my vibe.
So. Yeah. Yeah. That way, if you throw that bad boy on eBay later, like sermon used, you know, do you think there would be a market for your old laptop? Ronnie Martin, like 2.5 book manuscripts were written on this bad boy.
Yeah, I mean, if people just wanted something that doesn't work and be able to get it, and to get a bunch of like old like Word documents on my desktop, like I mean, they can actually write me and ask me for those, and they can get them. But if they want that, it's all
so used.
Are you trying to throw that out to our listeners right now?
They could also just buy your books. There's that option too. Like
there is that option too. Or maybe a bunch of book proposals that never got deals. If they want those, they can have them.
I think you lead the league in book props. Like, how many props do you have on that old laptop? Let's set an over under, and me and Pipe will again wager on it.
It's not that many. I would say under 12 over 7.
12.
Wait, that's not very many.
That's so many.
Is that
that's
a lot?
Like one a month for a year?
No, that's for the last like 4 or 5 years though. That's a lot. I don't know.
I've never done a book proposal for a book that I didn't publish.
Because you're better than me. I don't know what to say.
We talked about this a little bit last week. Some of it's just I don't get to the point of doing the work of a proposal until I'm 100% sure I want to do it and ready to cross the finish line.
That's how I work my ideas out, is by kind of generating a prop. So,
yeah. Baby, speaking of props, any traction on the stuff that we talked about last week, man? Oh, the big news?
Mysterious?
Yeah, the mysterious stuff. We kept it a little mysterious.
No, not yet. That's going to be more of like a June. We'll get some breaking news on that probably like June, maybe July or something like that. So
okay. Just hang tight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, playing the long game on that one, baby. What about Pastoral Musings? Same deal.
That one, yeah. So I'm just waiting to hear back on – that's sort of in the ideas kind of stage and phase. Okay. So wait to hear back from Wolgs on that one, and we'll – anytime I have any news, especially on a day like this when we desperately need news, believe me, I'll dish it. I'll be dishing a lot of news.
Baby, I got news.
Yeah,
I got news for you about a new church communication product called Communion. It's called the Communion app. You can find it at links, links.communionapp.com/happyrant, because we are partners. We are business partners with this company for the time being. Here are some of the key features about the Communion app. Why are you laughing? I'm doing business right now. What?
Sorry.
I'm throwing heaters.
For the time being, it's just a very subtle, like, asking somebody to step up their game. I'm just not sure who.
Yeah. You know what, dude? I mean, it's I just don't want to find us in a bad business marriage with the Communion app. You know what I mean? I want to keep it in that dating stage. I want them to woo us. You know,
to put it in NBA parlance, they're on sort of a 10-day contract.
They're on a 10-day. Yep, yeah. They're on a 10-day. We could renew it. You know, if they come off the bench, give us some quality minutes, we could renew the 10-day.
By minutes, we mean dollars.
Yeah, by minutes, we mean dollars, especially quality dollars. Communion is the church communications app that we use at my church. It's designed specifically for local church communication. Creates a private, safe way for members to stay connected throughout the week without having to bow the knee to the corporate devil of Facebook. I added that. That wasn't in the official marketing.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a heater. That's a heat check moment for me, I think.
Yeah, that was big.
So it's a communication platform that's available via iOS, Android, and the web. Pastors don't have to wait for their congregants to sign up. They can just add their members. And their members will be notified of updates via email automatically. Pricing is scalable, boys, based on the size of your church and the hipster quotient of your church.
Which, little sneaky tip for those of you considering this out there, size of your church is self-reported. So your church can be as big or small as you want it to be in order to benefit your pricing. So trust me, I've worked on a platform that was priced like this. And yeah, there was a lot of churches of 3,000 that were conveniently 1,500 for pricing. So, you can do that if you want.
I want to lean in on that with both of you boys. Do pastors lie about the size of their church, like either way when it benefits them?
Yes. Yes.
So it's sort of like Piper, when we were athletes and we were football players, we were always like 10 to 15 pounds bigger in the program.
Yes.
Like if you're actually 215, you're 230 in the program. Is it similar for pastors?
Well, it's a little bit like Ronnie has been like 38 for the last few years. So you're conveniently numbered to whatever suits you.
Still full of promise.
So when I worked at Lifeway, it was really funny because we had this platform called Ministry Grid that was, you know, church training and stuff. And we priced it initially based on church size. But we serve the largely Southern Baptist churches. Southern Baptist churches are always puffing their numbers. So, you know, everybody who's been a member for the last 1,100 years is still a member. Anybody who's considered baptism, filled out a visitor card, like driven by the church in their large pickup truck, member. So they're like, we're a 6,000-person church. And then you're like, all right, well, that's going to cost you this many $1,000s. And they're like, well, our average attendance is 725. So they just back off real quick to swing it the other way. And then they're like, no, are we counting kids or just adults? And churches will conveniently sliding scale their numbers to save them dollars or to improve the people's impression of them.
Dude, that's fascinating. What an interesting deal. Baby, how big is your church? What are we looking at on a Sunday morning?
When everybody's there and we always include kids, we're between 250 and 3.
Okay.
And that's honest to goodness numbers right there.
And being that you're a Reformed church, like 175 of those are kids probably.
pretty much. Yeah. No, I mean, we're not, that's just three families though.
So
that's, exactly. Exactly.
We're not like we're a small R, you know, with parentheses, Reformed Church, right? So because we don't have quite as many kids as the, you know, we put the capital R and everybody wears a cape when they come in through the front door, you know, Reformed on their chest and on their back, you know. So we don't have quite the large number of kids that
small R is an important distinction, isn't it? Small R for big R.
Absolutely. It's small R for big R, right? Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. That's an important branding thing. You can use that if you want.
On small R for big R. Can I take that? Money for that?
Yeah, baby, listen, you have fun with it. Okay,
It's the name of my new graphic novel, actually.
Bounce it around a little bit. Your new Yoda graphic novel? Dude, you need to do – all right, dude. I want a piece of the action on this idea, okay, because I'm not throwing these out for free all day long, you guys. You need to do a Yoda graphic novel, okay? So – compile all your Yoda tweets, pitch it to Wolgs. Wolgs, if you're listening, this idea is golden. I want half the take on this thing, but like pictures of Yoda, you may have to like communicate with George Lucas on that. I don't know what the rights are like, but
George are tight. He's not going to mind at all.
Pictures of Yoda with little like voice bubbles saying the tweets. You know what I mean? Would that not be golden? Would that not be like a gift book for every pastor?
I mean, that will sell tens of copies for sure.
Okay, so there's a book called there's a marketing guy named Lee Clow. He came up with like Apple's marketing campaigns back in the day when they were launching and stuff. And then somebody started, like an intern that worked under him, started a Twitter account called Lee Clow's Beard. And it's just all marketing quotes from him. And so it's all just straight up marketing Yoda stuff, which was then turned into a book. And it's one of these like pseudo coffee table books. Like you might see it in a corporate executive's office in the little meeting table in the corner of the office. And so it's all graphically designed and photos and different things, but it's all tweets. It's nice. and so that's kind of what I'm picturing, but with a strong like rural Instagram theme as opposed to like corporate office theme. Like lots of wooded lanes and warm cups of coffee and baked goods in the background.
I don't have to tell you this, but the work has already been done on this thing. You've already been doing the hard tweeting work. So it's almost like co-authoring with yourself.
It's just compiling is what you're saying. It's just compiling.
Dude, let me read one of these Lee Clow tweets and see how close it sounds to Big R's Yoda work. I think you're going to find some overlap here. Here we go. Lee Clow's beard. February 15th, 2011. Imagine what could be. Discern what should be. Then help make it be. That's
wow.
deep, dude.
Yeah, that is deep.
That's deep.
Yeah, that's big. I don't even know if
if Ronnie tweeted that, his church would be like 600 people in 7 minutes. I just you've missed
like
the
a
boat.
Real 600.
Just retweeted it.
Yeah.
Well, 600 not counting kids, because that would attract people who are never going to have kids.
It's so weird. Okay, can we just lean into that for 1 second? The weird not counting kids as if they're not people has always astounded me. Like the whole thing, like, was that with kids or without kids? Like, of course it's with kids. Like they're part of this gig. Like, what do you mean with or without?
Yeah, but they don't do anything, dude. They don't bring anything to the table.
You mean they don't contribute tithes? I mean, they technically
exactly.
Do,
yeah. Well. I don't know.
That whole mentality was.
It's murky.
Really,
baby.
What they should do is count people who cost the church money. not giving units. You're like, you know what? You've eaten more than your fair share of graham crackers. You count 1.5 times.
Dude, yeah. So if that's the case, we got a mega church going. I mean, that's what
you got
saying.
A little hipster. You got a hipster like shiplap nursery going on there at the facility.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we got a few of them.
Nice, baby.
Yeah.
What does a hipster church nursery look like? I've only got like experience with like normal church nurseries where there's like the. Yeah, I don't know, like the tacky mural painted on the wall and stuff. What is a hipster nursery look like?
It looks like the kids section at IKEA.
Oh, okay. Like small land. Like little tiny Nordic.
Nordic toys and rugs.
Clean sweeping lines all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Little kids in like bow ties and suspenders and
I mean, I don't know about that.
Talking about like the obscure coloring books that you're into.
It's dress optional, but yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Gluten-free goldfish crackers.
Gluten-free goldfish, Kraft apple juice.
Yeah, Kraft apple juice, a multicolored.
Well, they actually have a hand cider press in there to get the kids juice.
You gotta work in a cider press. I love it.
Yeah, we have a hand cider and sanitizer press now in the kids section. Yeah, it's great.
Well,
it's perfect.
The sanitizer is actually distilled corn alcohol that somebody made in their shed because Purell is, you know, that's big pharma. We don't like them.
Yeah. And they're actually right up the road. You know, you realize like Purell is like 20 minutes away from us, the factory.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
Purell.
Yeah. We're in like Purell land. Sponsor. Oh, that would be fantastic.
Listen, Purell, if you're listening, let's do business.
Oh, you know they are. Is that even a question?
I mean, with their proximity to you, I mean, they're for sure listening. All right. So next week we're going to have Purell on as a sponsor.
Yeah, that's going to happen for sure. Boys, do we have, here's my question, man. Do we have, like, if we had to come up with something deep to talk about just right now, like what would be the first thing that comes to your mind, Big T?
Baby, are you feeling a little like you want to go deep today? like with the time that we have remaining, which is not
a lot. I feel like we've had some eps in recent weeks where we've kept it light and fluffy, and I think that's good. But I would say let's take a dive.
All right, I've got one for
always
you.
Always producing. All right, Pipe's got one.
This is a real, genuine, like all of us are going to be figuring this out thing. So our church has made the decision to reopen for services in a limited capacity in a couple weeks. Although at the time this releases, it'll be in a few days. So
the arguing and debate begin, Pipe.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, the questions of like, will you be requiring masks? Why are we even reopening since we can still meet online? How are you going to make it safe for vulnerable people? Like all of those things, which really put the church leadership in a position where you're just going to give people answers that they don't like sometimes, because people asking those questions, very few people asking those questions are looking for, they're not coming to it open-minded with the sense of,
Looking for what they want to hear.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure how to think about this. Help me think about it. They're coming with it thinking you should do this or you shouldn't do this. So
you're going to make very few people happy with any decision you make. Right.
So there is the deeper topic is navigating, like, how do people come to church in a way that they're not the angry ones? Like, okay, what adjustment needs to happen there? And then on the church leader side, what are good ways to handle this so that, you know, you're not trying to appease people. You're trying to like lead them out of their sort of staunch misconceptions or staunchly held
their
convictions.
Selfishness.
Yes.
Are we allowed to say selfishness? Yeah.
Some of them are very selfish.
Interesting. Ronald, man of the cloth.
Yeah. I mean, we're obviously having these, this discussion right now, you know, in terms of, okay, what's, you know, when is going to be a good time for us to gather again? We didn't want to be, you know, we definitely didn't want to be the first out of the gate, and we're not, we'd rather be, you know, kind of later in it so that we can learn from the other churches that were kind of early reopening adopters, you know, kind of learn from, you know, whatever like methods they're putting into place, mistakes they've made. I'd like to just kind of learn from that a little bit. And then I think the way that we continue to, you know, communicate to our people about it is just, we're going to do everything we can in a way that shows as much love towards the vulnerable and towards the people that are still very like filled with anxiety and fear about gathering, but they want to gather. So let's lean into what that looks like. And we might have to like sacrifice, you know, if we're not people that find ourselves in that particular position, but those are the people that we want to lean into to care for, to alleviate their anxiety and fears. And we'll just do everything we can to be safe and do it in a way that's responsible, do it in a way that shows love for neighbor. But we're going to be slow. We're going to be cautious rather than quick. And so let's approach it like, let's approach it with that kind of a heart, rather than sort of like breaking it down into something that becomes very either objective or subjective. So like, are we caring for people? Are we big hearted about the way that we're doing this? Instead of just kind of getting it down to all like the details of the how, you know, cause we'll figure that out. Right. So I don't know.
Piper, what did he just say?
He said,
that's unassailable. I know that, but I don't know what the age he just said.
put others' best interests before your own and be humble, and nobody
love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah,
that's what I meant.
And nobody really knows what we're doing, including the people who are certain they know what they're doing. So be gracious. All right, Ronnie, follow up question for you. How will you handle this, knowing that this whole virus thing is, you know, so politically polarized, that whatever move you make as a church will be attached to like the right wing evangelical as it's perceived from the outside. So you decide to reopen. This is like crazy evangelicals denying that the virus is real and whatever else. Like, how does that play into your thinking?
Well, I just always call that out. So like instead of like not talking about that aspect of it, I just talk about that aspect of it. And I just say, hey, we're not going to be the church that goes that makes this a political thing or talks about it from the standpoint of it being political. And we know that you guys out there have a position and an opinion of it that will cause you to lean into one of those, you know, one of those views. But we're like, that's not where we're going with this. So again, make sure that you're checking your heart and all of this so that whatever political view you take doesn't negate you loving your neighbor and being kind and actually maybe sacrificing your political opinion for the sake of somebody else's, you know, fear and anxiety. So like, we're just not going to do that. I just refuse to do that. So I don't know.
What? Actually, well, I like that answer because I, you know, somebody raised that question to me about how we're going to handle it. And my initial response internally was to kind of feel like, ah, that's terrible, and kind of made me panic. And then I was like, oh, wait, that's nonsense. Like, you don't have to accept the premise. You can just be like, actually, that's false. there's nothing about that that pertains to what we're actually doing. And, you know, you can't help people's perceptions, but
you can't. No, for
sure. But you can out and out deny a premise that's nonsense and just be like, no, that's, you know, we're not attached to any political party. It's not actually anything political going on in the reopening of a church. It's
right.
It's based on an entire different set of convictions.
I just feel like if you don't even give it room to be like discussed and sort of hashed out and room for it to even like, you know, ruminate, you know, just like immediately just kind of take it and go, there it is. We're throwing that out directionally. That's not where we're going. And we just kind of move on with what we know to be true about what it is that we're doing, which is, man, we just want to gather in a safe way, in a responsible way. And we want to love each other in the way that we're doing it. Let's just do our best. I mean, what else can we do? You know, let those other churches, you know, hash out their political proclivities through it, but we're just not going to do it. But
well, and it's going to get easier every week, right? I mean, if I can get my car and like, if I can drive to TJ Maxx and get a new shirt, you know, with a whole bunch of dirtbag strangers breathing on me, then I'm going to feel more comfortable going to church. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like it's going to get easier as churches aren't the only ones obviously making this decision.
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely true because again, as things get back to quote unquote, like normal in terms of our everyday reconnecting with people. I mean, church, you know, that'll just be something that we'll find kind of a new routine and a new normal. The first couple of weeks might be awkward, but it's like anything else. Everybody will like acclimate to it. And I think, but if everybody's coming into it sort of with this preconceived, you know, notion of what it should be or what it shouldn't be, and then you kind of have some anger and discontentment that goes along into that, that's what I think we have to speak into constantly and just say, yeah, we're just not going to, that's just unacceptable because that's not how the church is, you know, that's not what Christ is, you know, told us how to be and what it is that we're becoming in that. So I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, what's idealized, but yeah.
I got a heat check question for both of you. What's the Dem Republican breakdown in your churches?
Oh, Judas.
If you had to just like throw some percentages out there, because ultimately like that will be the driver for how people respond.
Yeah, we'd be 80-20, 80 Repub, 20 Dem.
Sure, sure.
I'd say we're probably closer to 50-50, maybe 60-40 Republican just because – but I should say 60-40 leans conservative. I think there are – you know, the part people have sort of disengaged from the parties to some degree, but it's a much more even split. Like we sent out a church survey to kind of gauge people's, you know, how they intend to plug back in as we reopen. And it was about a 50-50 split in terms of people who were like, yes, let's do this thing. And others who were like, wait, that seems really potentially risky. So,
okay.
Very few were making any sort of like acerbic comments about anything, but just you can kind of get a sense based on that. And then based on, you know, people's social justice interactions and things. But yeah, I'd say 60-40 conservative.
But are your, Pipe, here's my question, man. Are you like, we would have like conservative leaning quote unquote Democrats, like in our Congress, you know what I mean? So it's like, when I say Democrat, I almost have to qualify that because they would be more on the, you know, the conservative end of that as well, you know? So it's not the way that we would really think of those definitions.
And yeah, when I think of it, I think much more in terms of, you know, your classic understandings of like big government, small government, states' rights versus federal government, those kinds of things. And then social justice being another big one, which has become a dividing line where, generally speaking, the Republicans are a little bit more anti-social justice, social program, and Democrats are a little bit more in favor. But yeah, there's not a lot of out and out progressive people politically or theologically, just because that's, you know, theologically, there's just not a lot of that just wouldn't vibe with what the church believes. And it's rare to find a very progressive political person who is very conservative theologically. So I don't know why that is, but that's as true as it is to tie like the Southern Baptist Convention to the Republican Party. You know, it seems like both sides theologically and politically are tied together and somewhat polarized.
Yeah, for sure.
What about your church, Ted?
We're just going back, man. Yeah, I don't know. West Tennessee's different, dude. It's a different animal.
Don't actually have the internet except for
you guys
communion
are already back
app.
Though, right? You were doing outside. You guys.
Yeah, we're doing outside church, man. Yeah. We're doing outside like condensed church. It's nice. I think everybody's liking it. I don't know if there are complaints. I'm not hearing them. And everybody out here is. I don't want to speak for everybody because we have our downtown kind of midtown hipster crowd too. But most people out here are like, yeah, let's get everybody back to work. So it's a little bit less polarizing, I think. Even so, our guys were, you know, our guys were early to close back when this thing was a lot more scary and it was a lot less certain what would happen, you know. But yeah, we're back, dude. I'm really happy. I'm really excited to be back. Hopefully we'll be back in the building soon, but yeah, if there's been big pushback, I'm not aware of it.
Yeah. And I don't think we're going to have that either, T. I think we're a little more, I think it's a little more wired, like where you guys are at. If people have issues, they keep everything so close to the vest that it's not like they're not going to show up one day, like with signs, you know, picketing, you know, the service or something. So it's going to be more of like I think they would show – some people might show their disapproval by just saying, hey, I'm either not comfortable with coming quite yet.
Yeah.
I'll hang back and do the live stream for a little while. And so, we're guessing there's going to be some of that as well, you know. But I think everybody's going to play ball.
Yeah, we decide to do. We did our best and we'll, you know, as we've tried to communicate to make clear that we're not like – coming back is not real worship while staying home is subpar in this sort of weird, divided, uncertain kind of phase to be like, yeah, if you decide it's best to stay home because of caution or whatever, like that's good. That's if that's where your conscience is, that's a good decision. It's interesting for our church because we're smack in the middle of Nashville for the church, but we draw from all around. And Nashville itself has been much more cautious, you know, so a little bit more like politically liberal, which means more cautious in terms of closings. And the surrounding counties tend to be much more conservative politically, which means much less cautious in terms of closings. So there's even a divide that way where the closer people are to church living wise, the more they kind of reflect what the Nashville mayor has recommended. And the further out they are, the more they're like, we've been open for a while and we're ready to go. And so even that creates a little bit of friction because the Nashville mayor would prefer to have no churches meeting in the city for a little while, but he's not closing us down. He's like, follow the governor's recommendation. But so there's, you know, it's just an interesting, weird tension that I don't think it doesn't need to be a conflict, but it certainly could turn into one.
Dude, even the rich people in Nashville, a lot of liberals. Do you see that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just trying to understand the city.
It's a weird city. Well, first of all, Nashville itself has a ton of imports. A ton of people from Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, and those, you know, largely very progressive cities. But like old school Nashvillians are like they're red politically. You know, it's a red state with like blue cities. So Memphis is more blue. Yeah. Nashville is more blue. Knoxville is more blue, et cetera. But And then it's like an entrepreneurial artistic kind of city as well. And so there just tends to be more progressive political leanings in that crowd. But the moment you get outside of that area and you just get into like older money and the suburbs, yeah, it's pretty conservative. It's a lot of Trump Pence stickers. It's God and guns and whatever else. So it's a weird city. Nashville's weird in that way.
Yeah, totally, man. Totally. I don't know, boys. Was that deep enough for you, Ronald? I feel like it wasn't. I feel like it was more procedure than depth. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, it was fine, boys. It was good. It was great. I'm sorry.
Baby, what's on your heart? What's on your mind, man? Seriously, okay. Let's get there. Let's get it.
All right, I have another question for Ronnie that maybe is a little deeper. I want Ronnie to describe for us people's inclinations towards reopening the church based on Enneagram number.
Oh.
So, like, dig into the souls of 1 through 9 and how they will respond. We can help ourselves this out. So this isn't like on you.
I don't know that we have the time. So let me reverse engineer an Enneagram 9 who is like the guy that hates confrontation and just wants everybody to get along. I mean, he's going to be there. I mean, they're just going to show up. Whatever you guys have.
He's like, Ronnie, whatever you guys decide.
Whatever you guys decide, we're all in. Tell us what to do.
What if his whole small group is like, no, we're not going. We think this is crazy and risky.
Well, then that's going to create conflict. And he's going to be like, I don't know what to do. I just want everyone to be happy. That's classic Enneagram 9 right there. Enneagram 8. Well, I don't know. You tell me, Pipe. Where are you at with that?
Well, an Enneagram 8 is going to very boldly do the thing that he is certain is right, whichever one it is. So if he thinks opening is completely foolish, he's going to just blast the church for opening on Facebook, Twitter, whatever. If he thinks the church is right for opening, he's going to be the first one in the door, inviting all of his friends, rolling his eyes at those who are disinclined to come for caution's sake, which means the Enneagram 8 has to be very careful not to be the alienating force.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. You nailed it, Pipe. Enneagram 7 is going to be like, you know, this
people,
you know,
yay!
Yes, Sundays are how I socialize. You know, it's the biggest part of my social calendar, so I can't wait. I don't care how we have to do it. Let's just get in there. You're gonna have to like pull
dude,
me.
They're
back
hitting lunch with hug. Friends afterward.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They're gonna want to hug everybody, so they're gonna have a hard time following whatever rules that you put into place. They're just so happy. They're not like against you because you have rules. They're just so stoked to be there. They're just gonna be jumping up and down, and like you're gonna have to be like. Just literally like pulling them back from like just smothering everybody.
Oh, yeah. It's like bringing a black lab to a dog park. Just
exactly.
just like wiggling with anticipation at the ability to like totally. Jump on and show affection to everybody.
They're going to be so pumped. Enneagram 5 is going to be.
Wait, we skipped sixes.
No, I know. Those are harder to measure, but like an Enneagram 5 is going to be like, I just need you to send me a list of all the pros and cons, the reasons why this is a good idea,
right.
The reason why it's a bad idea. I just have to logically be able to get my head wrapped around this before I can make a decision on whether it's a good idea to gather.
Is the Enneagram 5 the one who is emailing you twice a week with like CDC links and Nate Silver's data on rates of growth of the virus? And
yeah, for sure. Like here's my fourth Gospel Coalition article I read today on why it's a great idea to reopen and why it's not a great idea to reopen.
Oh, and
right?
Here's the one about like public singing is dangerous. And here's the one about why we have to public sing. And here's the one for kids ministry. Like, so the five is the, this is data overload. Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, baby, this is going to have implications for that, that cider press you got going in small
it,
land.
It
there.
Really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, Enneagram 3 is,
Baby, what about fours? What about you?
I don't know. That one's a little harder to work out. I'm working it out. Enneagram 3, though, is like, hey, guys, here's the method behind it. Here's like 19 things that we need to make sure we've rehearsed, practiced, all the sanitizing stations. I can handle that, by the way.
Because we got to be the best at this.
Yeah,
we
got
to be the best reopening church.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, seriously, I already have like 9 teams assembled that are going to do like, you know, that are going to like sterilize in between like the 9 services that we have to do because we do have to do 9 services.
We have to do the most services.
We have to do the most services. Yeah. So That's that. Yeah. So that Enneagram three, but they're going to be, but those dudes are going to be super helpful. You know what I mean? Because they're going to be, they're going to keep it all in order.
Unless they think that the pastor's method is not good.
Well, there is that.
You know, right? If they think that your caution, like we're going to open in stages, we're going to kind of keep things stripped down for a little while. They are potentially the ones who will cause some friction and maybe undermine that a little bit.
Yes, and that's a good point. And Enneagram fours are going to be like, you know, we're talking a lot about procedure, but we're not talking a lot about the soul. I want to know how this is hitting everybody emotionally. And I want to make sure that people, we're taking consideration everybody's different, you know, opinions and emotions and feelings about this. That's what's really important.
Fours who also lean left politically, we're not going to see them for years. Dude, it's going to be 3 years before we see those
guys,
bro.
They're going to be putting out endless tweet threads about, mental health and anxiety and, trauma and things. So, by the way, Enneagram 8 here rolling his eyes at everything you just said, Ronnie.
Yeah, I know. We know that. As fours, we know that.
But since this is an auditory medium, I figured I would say it out loud so the listeners could hear my eyes rolling.
Yeah. And all you fours that are out there listening, I get it. You were already thinking that when Pipe was going through his spiel. We're all good with that. We get it. We're all good. And then so Enneagram ones are going to be, we just want to make sure we're not doing anything wrong. We're like the rule followers. As long as, what's the governor been saying? Like, is everything cool with that? Are we abiding by, the law of the land? That'll be more of a one. Kind of uptight and paranoid and kind of scared.
You can count on the ones to follow your reopening procedure. So like when you send the email and you're like, this is how we're going to do it with masks and different entrances and how people are going to sit. They're going to know it on the way in. Like they're going to.
Totally. They're out there with a tape measure, like measuring off 6 feet, between seats. Yeah.
Yeah. And, after it. And twos and sixes, like twos will just be like, man, I just want to do anything I can to help. How can I, how can I be a part of this process? I just want to make it is enjoyable of a process for everybody that's coming in. If I can help alleviate anybody's fears, I just want to help them out. And then sixes are going to be kind of the people in the background that are a little suspicious about everything. Not really sure, but once they buy in, they're going to be the ones encouraging everybody. Hey, it's going to be okay. Nobody's going to be, there's no harm here. We just gotta trust our, once they're bought into the leadership, they're gonna be, we just gotta trust our leadership. Guys, we can do this. They're gonna help like rally people together. But if they're not bought in, and a six is gonna go around and kind of stir the pot and say, I don't know. I mean, you really think they got this thing ready to go? They really set it up good enough?
Dude, the six is like, what about but what about the second wave of this?
Absolutely.
They're second wavers. Right? They're like, hey, fall, you guys, we're going to get a second wave.
And a fair amount of suspicion of motives. Like, are we just reopening because giving is down? Like, what's behind this?
Six have the potential to ruin all the reopenings going on around the country right now.
Not as much as fours who lean left politically.
Even more than that, Pipe, sorry.
Well, you're not going to see those people.
That's
an Enneagram six is the greatest enemy of the church and of the world.
you just lost half your congregation because I think it's the most common number as well.
It is really? I know.
Oh, that's fascinating.
It is, it is. But I don't know. Did that help, boys? Was that a little Enneagram training for us?
Maybe that's what you wanted.
Do you feel good after kind of digging into the motivations and actions and souls of the people of the church?
Pipe, you know what's weird? I hadn't really thought of it in the way that you just laid it out. So I actually think it kind of was helpful because, I mean, we've done Enneagram training at Sub, and like it kind of gives me an idea of where some of these people are going to land. So that was really helpful.
Baby, here's what Piper has done for you. He's given you – so every morning you get up, you brew up some craft coffee, grab a little scone, and do your quiet time. You've now had your Enneagram quiet time too.
I really have. I know.
You know, because you spend a little time in the Word and a little time in the Ennie every morning.
Absolutely.
That's the routine.
I mean, the Ennie is part of our new spiritual disciplines for sure.
Until I've kind of drunk deeply of the Enneagram, I don't feel like I can really start my day. Yeah. Well, boys, this has been
I don't know what this has been.
Yeah, dude, it's been some half-hearted radio. This is going to be the one,
I don't even know how you're going to describe this when you promo it next week. I mean,
it's funny because sometimes when we go half-hearted, half-hearted for us in the past has meant like some really good spontaneous stuff. But I think this one was truly half-hearted. You know, I think we all three just kind of nailed this one in.
So that's what you can call it.
It's just, well, we had the best episode ever. So do we just call this like the most mediocre episode ever?
Didn't we already call one that?
I don't know. Wait, you're asking me to remember what we've talked about on these things?
I think we already had the most mediocre. No, we had the worst episode ever. Is this just the most mediocre episode?
Yeah, the most middling.
Worst episode, obviously.
Yeah.
But. Did you know what the problem is, though, is like, and this is a real thing, there's equal parts nothing to talk about. And the only thing that's left to talk about is super polarizing politically. And we're all a little bit scared to go there, you know, obviously. Well, but
and none of us – I mean, I'm probably the most inclined to attack any politically polarizing thing with an opinion. But even then, opinions and passion are not the same. Like, we just don't care that much, I don't think. I don't think there's a deep amount of, like, vested passion.
We don't care that much. And none of us know anything. And I think because we're older, like, we know that we don't know anything. So, like, I'm not going to go 110 on some topic.
I know the problem with getting older is, yeah, you just realize how much you don't know. I know that. And that's it. Yeah, exactly. It's sobering. So I know so much less than you guys. And it's not that I know less. It's just that I know less.
Wow. Well, that needs to go in pastoral musings, baby.
Yeah. I'm not going to rest. That's a strong tweet for like the pastor growing into himself. It's like, I know less than you. Not that I know less, but that I know less. And then you
maybe
just probably
a little
add
homework.
A few more.
I want to see a Yoda tweet on that later.
Yeah, no, it's coming. It'll come later.
Yeah.
Give me a minute. Just give me a minute.
Yeah. Hang on.
Can you end this? I would beg you to end this.
Yeah. So,
that's my job.
Yeah. We've done what we always do on this podcast. Everybody get the Dwell Bible app, drink some Redbud City coffee roasters. And, until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
This is my skyship, Dreamer. My cargo is stories, and our destination, dreams.
With Abide Sleep Stories for Kids, you can help your children fall asleep fast and learn about God. To find these kids' bedtime stories, go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Abide Stories for Kids. You can also download the Abide app for more biblical meditations at abide.com.